Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he issued the Great Commission. His followers are to go into all the world and make disciples. Just what does that mean? In the epistles, we are told to be in the world but not of the world. Just what does that mean? Has the church, have Christians, especially here in America, failed at that task? How do we occupy until Jesus comes back? My guest today is Coach Dave Dobemeyer with Pass the Salt Ministries. Thanks, Coach Dave, for being with us.
Honored to be with you. Thanks a lot. And start off right at the beginning and say that one of the reasons we're in the mess that we're in is we have the worst Christian leadership from the pulpit in the history of the United States of America. There's no other place to point the finger. There's a lot of reasons why we're in this mess, but it's been the compromising of the truth and the misunderstanding of what you just referred to that has got us in the mess that we're in today.
Yeah, I totally agree. And compare the folks in the pulpits today to those in the pulpit leading up to and during the war for independence in this country. And there's no comparison.
One of the things that happened is, Christianity has been transformed. I'm 69 years old. I've been around a while. Mm-hmm. And I've known Jesus. I've been a follower of Christ for about 25, maybe almost 30 years now, I guess. But I was raised in church, right? Mm-hmm. I was raised in church. Mm-hmm. But when I was raised in church, was nothing at all in relationship to what Christianity really, really was.
Right.
I didn't, right? Mm-hmm. And so this whole idea that that Christianity is first and foremost personal, which it is, a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is. But the Great Commission is a military term, a commission. You get a commission. You're a commissioned officer.
Mm-hmm.
So the Great Commission, I'm a soldier of the cross.
In fact, isn't there a song with that language, a phrase in a soldier of the cross or something along those lines?
Yeah. And mm-hmm. Our forefathers, just go back and listen to some of the old spirituals, the old songs we used to sing in church. Stand up for Jesus,
right.
Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high the royal banner. Mm-hmm. It must not suffer loss, right?
Right.
So the idea back a generation ago, maybe two generations ago, was a conquering Christianity,
yep.
An active, go into all the world, a military consignment, go. Teach them all to observe everything I've commanded you.
Jesus' words.
Always.
Yep. Were Jesus' words. Yep.
They were his words. Mm-hmm. And what? He is Lord right now over all the earth. He's not coming back as a soon coming king. He is. And he's coming back as a conquering king. But he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now.
Yep.
Right now. And see, one of the messages the church has been telling us is that he's a future king, and mm-hmm. he's going to come back, and he's going to establish his kingdom, and it's a total misrepresentation of the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Yep. And you know, seminaries are teaching that, and of course the pastors are graduating out of seminary with that message. As you're saying, as we've sat in church, we are hearing stories, and they never go into anything deep theologically. They just cover the surface. And their main thing is too many of them. There are some good pastors still. There are a few out there, but too many are preaching God is love, and you hear that coming out of the gay activist words and the mouths themselves. God is love,
right.
So they are totally ignoring, which he is. I mean, I won't deny he's love, but he also is a just God. He is a judge. Also, he's not just
he's balanced.
Yep,
he's balanced, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, I'm gonna throw this out there because this is gonna shock a lot of people. Because one of the words that you'll hear all the time, especially from the Luciferians, who disguise as, I don't know what they disguise as. This is harsh. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's God's child.
Yep.
They tell us that. They teach us that in church, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And can I give you another one?
Yeah.
God doesn't love everybody. His love's available to everybody. But he said, you are of your father, the devil.
That's true.
The devil has children. Does God love the devil's children? Of course not.
Because,
but they can be adopted into God's family.
Right.
But they're not. And as long as they are in the other kingdom, as long as they are children of the devil, the work of their father, they will do. Friends, they're our enemy.
Yeah.
They're enemies of
yeah.
the cross. So that's part of the confusion in America today, right?
Yeah.
That we're all God's children. Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated.
Yep. Yep.
God hates all workers of iniquity. It says it right there because he's perfectly balanced. Perfectly
right.
balanced in love, perfectly balanced in hate, perfectly balanced in joy, perfectly balanced in anger, in all ways complete and perfect. And we just have a really, really we've been taught a misconception.
Right. And it's hard and that's hard for us as finite beings to be able to comprehend that total balance between love and hate and justice
right.
and all that stuff. It's hard for us to comprehend
right.
that. But you're right, because, you know, throughout Scripture, God shows how he favored some over the others. Jacob Esau is a perfect example there. And, you know, what is it, the song that little kids are taught, God loves the little children of the world?
Right.
And he does. I mean, children who are not
who
are not accountable, you know, are not right. the age of accountability. They don't know right from wrong, you know, really. And that varies from child to child. But still, the church
we cannot deny the fact that the Lord himself told us that the devil has children.
Yeah.
You are of your father, the children,
yep.
The devil.
The devil,
now listen,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but in my life, I was transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word, right?
Yep.
That's the word. So I was born into the kingdom of darkness. I'm sorry. And until you come to accept Jesus Christ and get adopted into his family, when you get adopted, you get a new family, don't you?
Exactly.
And, so
that's perfect, because we are all born into sin. We don't think about that so much as being born into the kingdom of darkness or into as a child of the devil, but really that is what being born in sin is.
We're translated from the kingdom of darkness
mm-hmm, right.
into the kingdom of his dear son.
Exactly.
So clearly we weren't in the kingdom of his dear son at the beginning.
Exactly.
There's some type of transformation that takes place that brings us into his family. And by the way, it's open to everybody.
Yep.
Everybody
yep.
can come. But if you don't come, you are not one of his children.
Exactly. And that's an interesting concept, because, you know, I've definitely been taught we're born into sin. But when you take that as we should look at, we're taking it a step further, as being born into sin means you're born as a child of the devil, you know, the child
right.
of Satan. And that's very true, because if we don't accept Christ, you know, if we don't give in to the workings of the Holy Spirit and accept Christ, then we continue being a child of the devil. If we do that and repent, then we're adopted into the family of God.
So what does it mean when it says in the book of Psalms, I think it's Psalm, I don't have the right one in my head right now,
mm-hmm.
that God hates all workers of iniquity. Now, there are two things that we have to consider there. Number one, God hates what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could
what
this
is
God?
He
hate? Exactly. Workers
yeah,
of
not
iniquity.
Sinners, not sinners. Listen, friends, listen. There's a difference between a sinner and a worker of iniquity. A sinner is someone who's just fallen into sin.
Mm-hmm.
But a worker of iniquity is someone who specializes in sin, recruits people into sin, leads them into sin, holds them captive into sin, such as the transgender movement,
yeah.
right? Those are workers of iniquity. They're not mm-hmm. satisfied with their own sin. They want to make sure others get caught up in it as well. What does he say? He hates those people. He hates those workers of iniquity. Now, is his grace available to them? It's available.
Absolutely.
They can receive it, but they're going to have to renounce the devil,
mm-hmm.
turn
mm-hmm.
from their wicked ways, and be adopted into his family, into the kingdom of his dear son. This is right out of the Bible.
Right. Well, who reads the Bible anymore? I mean, that's the underlying issue, is we don't read the Bible. We don't know what Jesus said because we don't read the Bible. As American Christians who have a Bible, you know, maybe most homes have, you know, at least three or four Bibles, at least
yep,
a Bible,
right.
I'll put it like that, at least a Bible in their household. But yet how many times are they dusted off and opened up and actually read?
Amen. Or yes, and understand, rather than understanding it through the interpretation of their pastor, mm-hmm. who may have a bad understanding of it. Anyway, let's ask ourselves right. this question. Did God love Hitler? Was Hitler a child of the king? How about this guy who just walked in there, down there in
Texas,
Olvete, mm-hmm. and killed mm-hmm. 22 people? Yeah. That God's child that's doing that? How stupid can we be to think that, right?
Exactly.
But that is the mindset that we are selling. Now, could God have saved that guy that killed 22 people?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he could have.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. But what does he have to do? He's got to come out of that kingdom of darkness, right?
Now, do you think that, or do you believe that, I mean, in the 60s, prayer and Bible reading were taken out of schools. And we've seen an acceleration of America heading down the wrong path, to put it mildly, since the 60s. Do you see a correlation between the removal of the Bible reading and prayer from schools? Do you see a correlation between that and the way we're headed now as a nation?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, ma'am. It's funny because Thursday, what is today? Wednesday is my day of writing. I publish every week at newswithyou.com, a commentary. And I'm publishing, just finished it up, wrote a commentary today on the suppression of truth.
Wow.
See, that's the battle that we're fighting in America today,
right.
my friend.
Right. Yeah.
Not that we aren't getting the truth, but what's that old quote? Nothing but the whole truth
and nothing but the truth.
Well, we're not getting the whole truth, are we? The suppression of truth. And the suppression of truth is what? The devil, the Luciferians, the children of the devil doing everything they can to keep the truth from coming out. It's like holding a gold beach ball underwater. They're pushing, suppressing, mm-hmm. holding that truth so it doesn't pop its head up. Because if it pops its head up, truth always prevails. And as long as there's not truth, then they can, you know, they can throw in there whatever they want to. They can put their opinions in there. They can throw phony science in there, transgenderism.
Oh, yeah.
They can do all that stuff. But if truth rears its head, they're done, right?
Right,
so
exactly.
That's why the suppression of truth is so critical to what you're doing.
Absolutely. And that's in the church, and that's in, you know, from the church,
especially
the media, everything.
Especially in the church. That's exactly the point that we were making earlier when I talked about how much the pulpits have let us down. The suppression of truth within the church,
mm-hmm.
right? If something doesn't line up with their theology, are they going to let that theology come into their church? Oh, no. Oh, no, no. And if you go in there and start talking like I am right now, going to church and say that God doesn't love everybody, his love's mm-hmm. available, mm-hmm. but he doesn't love everybody, are they going to let me in there?
Or they'll push you out and lock the door behind you.
Because they don't agree with
you,
right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So it's not just the devil's kids that are doing it. Our side's doing it as well.
Yeah. And you have to question, where their walk with the Lord really is when they do something like that.
So we were talking about suppression within
suppression,
the church.
Right, suppression of the truth.
Right?
Because go ahead.
So people talk about Romans 1, people talk about you read down through Romans 1, and people look at that as the sign of the end of days. And that's not what Romans 1 is talking about. Romans 1 is showing how the judgment of God is being revealed. So when we see these things that are going on, transgenderism mm-hmm. and the lying and the disinformation, that is, in fact, the judgment of God.
Yeah.
Why the judgment of God? Because we suppress the truth.
Yeah.
The church agrees that Bruce Jenner is a woman, right? What the heck is that all about? The church doesn't stand up and say that an unborn baby is a human being. They suppress the truth.
Yeah.
Why do they suppress the truth? Because there might be a woman in the congregation who had an abortion, mm-hmm. and they don't want to bring it up. So they suppress. We do it ourselves. We do it ourselves. So our job is to show up, stand up, and speak up.
Right.
Speak the truth.
Right. And back to that woman who may have had an abortion sitting in the pew, unless the pastor addresses that issue, that woman will continue struggling with her guilt.
She'll never get free.
Exactly.
Right? Only the truth can
will
set her
free. Absolutely. And that's
right.
And that's just that's only in the Bible.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's just only in the Bible. Yeah.
She has to admit that what she did was a grievous
mm-hmm.
sin.
Yeah.
And then she can receive forgiveness.
Yeah.
But until she does that, until she hides behind the fact and hides behind her guilt, and says, well, you know, it was a tough time and I made the wrong decision, until she just comes out and says, Lord, please forgive me. Yeah. I murdered my baby. Mm-hmm. Only then will she be able to forgive, be forgiven. And many of them can't forgive themselves, right? They can't forgive themselves.
Right.
So it's a great blockage, a great barrier against the truth of the gospel.
Right, and Satan puts it up, you know, puts it up in front of the, in this case, the woman who's had an abortion. You know, how can anyone love you? How can you be forgiven when you did this thing to your unborn child?
So again, it's a suppression of truth, because why? They tell the woman, even today, that it's not really a baby.
Yeah.
It's a blob of tissue. It's a clump of cells, right? And why are they getting away with it?
Because the church doesn't respond.
Our side won't tell the truth.
Yeah.
We help them suppress the truth.
Yeah. And do you think a lot of that is because, one, you gave the example of the woman who's had an abortion and the pastor doesn't want to upset her. But do you think a lot of it is also just the average everyday Christian who, well, you know, again, if they're sitting under a pastor who doesn't teach the truth, they don't know the truth. But it's part of it is that Christians who may know the truth of, well, say, the LGBTQ issue, the transgender issue, do you think they're afraid of speaking up because they see what has happened to the few who have spoken up against it and have spoken the truth? They don't want to be called names, et cetera, et cetera.
Whack-a-mole, right? They don't want to pop their head up and get whacked.
Yeah.
And so, because of it, we've been taught that silence is golden, but it isn't. Silence is yellow.
Yeah,
it's yellow.
That's true.
And we are called, if we're in a war, going back to the Great Commission, if we are in a war, then we are called to fight the Lord's fight. We're supposed to take those whack-a-moles. We're supposed to take those arrows.
Exactly.
The Bible's very, very clear about it, right? Jesus said that they're going to hate you. Mm-hmm. You're going to be hated of all men.
Yep.
And why are you going to be hated of all men? They hated me first.
Yeah.
You're in it with me, right? Because we are against the world. We're not of the world.
Yeah. And again, how do we retake the culture? Can the culture be retaken when too many in the pulpit are suppressing the truth themselves? Can the culture be retaken?
Well, I believe there's a real strong remnant of believers out there. But here's something I've really been on the kick about is, listen, we those of us who are unashamed, God-fearing Christians, we need to stop calling ourselves conservatives and patriots and all these other names that we hide behind. Mm-hmm. I'm not a patriot. I mean, I am, but I'm not.
Right.
I'm a Christian.
First.
I'm a Christian first and foremost. I'm not a conservative. Lindsey Graham's a conservative.
Yeah.
George W. Bush was a conservative. John McCain was a conservative.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
So they said. Yep, they were called that.
I'm not a conservative.
Yeah. Not...
I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian.
And that's and that's very important that we are Christians first. Christ is
always first. Always first.
Yes.
Let me ask you, easy question. Is Jesus Christ a conservative?
Well, he's the Son of God.
Especially
when you look at today's definition of conservative, you bring out Lindsey Graham and McCain. I mean, to me, they're not conservatives, but yet they're called a conservative. But no, Jesus is not a conservative. He's the Son of God. And
that's right.
He fulfills.
So we get into the fight where we don't want to offend anybody.
Mm.
So we don't stand up for our Christian values. We stand up for our conservative values, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How can he possibly bless that? So I'm on this kick.
Are you using that term because you were a former football coach on this kick?
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've kicked a lot of
beans. A lot of footballs. Yeah.
Yep. And in a good way, right?
Right.
But listen, really, will God bless conservatism?
No.
No, I don't think he can. Will he bless Christianity? We pray that he will, but I can tell you this. We got a lot better chance with Christianity than we do with conservatism.
Absolutely.
So we got to come out of the closet.
Yeah.
We got to call our we got to use that name. There's something about that name. It's the name that's above every other name.
Mm-hmm.
We got to start using it again.
I think there was a hymn named that too, something of There's something about that name. I think those words.
There's a song. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's
so
no other name. No other name. No other name.
Yeah.
Not conservative. Not patriot. Not Republican. There's no other name.
Yeah.
Given among men.
Yeah.
So we need to start using that name.
We absolutely do need to do that. And, you know, so as we've seen the church suppress the truth, we've seen marriage redefined. We've seen, you know, as you said, you know, babies in the womb are just blobs of tissue. We've seen the educational institutions taken over. We've seen government taken over, and et cetera, et cetera.
History rewritten. Our history rewritten.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Statues coming down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's all rewritten. So how can, go ahead.
It's judgment. See, that's what Romans 1 is telling us.
Mm-hmm.
It says in Romans 1:18 that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness who suppress the truth. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So what we see happening now is simply already the judgment of God because we suppress the truth.
Yeah, that's for
sure.
Do
it to ourselves.
Yeah, we do. How can folks contact you?
CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. I do a little morning podcast. Folks, go to my website. There's some great stuff. It's all free. There's some great stuff on there that I think would really, really encourage you. I think we're going to win. I think we're in the process of, we're really, really advanced in the ball. We're just about 40 years late into this fight, but we're going to make up a lot of ground quickly.
Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic. You could definitely see a remnant speaking up in the nation, which we definitely need to speak up even more so.
They're losing, man. They've been building an army for 60 years, and our army is just beginning to awaken.
Yeah.
We got them on the run.
Absolutely. So CoachDaveLive.com is your website?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and
yes,
I encourage our listeners to go check that out. Thanks a lot, Coach Dave. I appreciate it.
God bless you. Thanks for having me.
God bless
me.
You too. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.